Darba l-ismija ta' Campus 103.7, Emmanuel Buttigieġ u Liam Gawċi jilqawkom għal taħdita Clio. Illum Liam ħanieħdok lill-insewwa minn Malta, ħammorru f'pajjiż ħafna kbar minn Malta.
Il-bot.
Imma li fl-immaġinarju Malti huwa familjari, jeklu xejn ħabba l-isport.
Ħabba l-isport, ħabba l-futbol.
Issa mmorru l-Brażil. Għaliex m'għandna għandna żewġ mistiedna speċjali ħafna u għandna piċir li għandna dell-opportunità li nilqgħuhom magħna. Illum eżis semmi għandna tema li daqsxejn differenti waħseb differenti sew minn affarijiet oħra li tkellimna fuqhom f'dan il-programm, imma xtaqna ndaħluha wkoll għax naħseb iġġi perspettiva importanti u daqsxejn differenti minn tas-sort. U t-tema ħad tkun l-art u l-vjolenza fil-Brażil. U biex nitkellmu dwar dan għandna magħna żewġ mistiedna, għandna magħna lil Marco Antonio Mitidero Jr. Li huwa studja fl-Università ta' São Paulo u huwa professur fid-Department of Geosciences fl-Università Federali ta' Paraiba fejn huwa jgħallem u jsegwi teżijiet fil-level ta' Masters u PhD. U l-interess partikolari tiegħu huwa l-ġeografija marbuta mal-agrikoltura u d-diskwiet soċjali fil-Kampanja. Miegħu għandna wkoll lil Aurelani Alves Santana li studjat il-ġeografija fl-Università Statali ta' Southwest Bahia, l-Università ta' Paraiba u d-dottorat mill-Università Federali ta' Sergipe. Palissa qiegħda tagħmel postdoc dwar ix-xogħol agrikolu u relazzjonijiet tax-xogħol fil-Kampanja. Naturalment dan l-episodju issa jkompli bl-Ingliż. Dear Marco, dear Aurelane, thank you so much for accepting our invitation. To put a bit of context for our listeners, Marco is here doing a postdoc with the University of Malta. That's how we came to know each other. And Aurelane is here and she's also beginning a postdoc. And having got to know you, I thought we couldn't allow the opportunity to escape to not to have you here on our program, because I think what you're studying is so interesting. And, you know, Liam and I were saying at the beginning how Malta and Brazil are obviously so different, so far apart. But Brazil is part of the Maltese imaginary, as it probably is for many other countries. Football, Carnival, Santana.
Samba.
And we have a statue just like the one of Rio in Gozo.
We have the Gozo.
We have the Gozo version. A little bit smaller, okay, and not that famous, but we try our best.
And you were saying, Liam, before we started, that there is a connection at the Maritime Museum as well.
Yes, and I think that is the connection that we can start from, maybe. At the Malta Maritime Museum, we have the figurehead, so the mascot of HMS Hibernia. So around 3.4 tons of wood sculpture of the mascot of the ship of the Royal Navy, captained by Sir Sidney Smith, that led and helped the royal family of Portugal escape Portugal and establish the royal court of Portugal in Brazil.
When they were escaping
Napoleon. When they were escaping Napoleon and his nearly Marshal Junot. So that brings us to, we would like to start off. the first question, give us a brief history of Brazil.
Let's have them introduce themselves.
Yes, I'm running. Sorry. Yes, because I'm so excited. This looks like our listeners will really enjoy this fresh perspective of how we look at the world and countries around the world. So your introduction,
Marco. A little something about you and a little something about Aurelane.
Okay, I'm Marco. My formation is in geography. I'm geography. I have a master and PhD in geography, and I was born in countryside in Brazil. It's because I researched the countryside because I was born in countryside.
Yes, that's so, fair enough.
And here in Malta, I do postdoctor in the Department of History.
Yeah, and first of all, I'd like to thank you for receiving us. I'm Aureliani. I'm from Brazil, as you said in the beginning of this interview. And I've been studying the contemporary slavery in Brazil, especially in the countryside, and trying to analyze the labor relations, especially the precarious relations of work. And I think our research, me and Marcos, is connected because we also studied the violence in Brazil and in these rural areas.
Mm-hmm. And we will come to that. But let's go to Liam's question so he gets what he wants.
I won't complain.
A little history of Brazil, in particular, I suppose, the way you see it.
Yes.
Yes, the history of Brazil can be told in several ways. Mm-hmm. Okay,
and a couple of hours.
Yes, a couple of. But I like the theory about the economic cycles. Mm-hmm. So the history of Brazil is based on economic cycles.
Yes.
First, Brazil is discovered from Portugal, mm-hmm. Portuguese navigators in 500, and discovered Brazil. But the historian researchers. Criticize this concept, discover.
Yes,
is another concept, important concept, like a domination, colonization,
invasion,
invasion, because there were in Brazil like 8 and 15 million indigenous people before. Arrived the Portuguese.
It wasn't empty.
Yes. So the first cycle, the economic cycle, is the sugarcane economic cycle.
Of course.
Sugarcane in this period called the white gold.
White gold.
Yeah. White gold, no?
Because it's so expensive and important.
Yes. Important detail, the sugarcane, in Brazil, it's important today.
Right.
So the cycle is the permanent cycle.
Continuous
cycle, economic cycle. The second economic cycle is the precious metal.
Right.
Gold, no?
Yes.
Gold, silver, but gold, yes. Mm-hmm. In the center of Brazil in the 18th century. In the 100 years, the exploitation, the gold, and other precious
materials.
The third cycle is the coffee cycle.
The coffee cycle.
Of course. The black gold. The black gold. The 1813, between 1813 and 1913, more or less, no?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. This three cycle, it's the beginning of our story, okay?
Right.
Yeah, but talking about this concept of invasion, why this called invasion? Why we think that this concept is better? Because when the Portuguese arrived in Brazil, the land was occupied by indigenous people, and they made these people like slaves, and they took their lands, and they exploited this land. So this is why we call this invasion, and this is why Marco is talking about these cycles,
mm-hmm.
because these cycles were possible because of this exploitation of the territory.
Yeah.
So we also call invasion because we had a genocide of these indigenous people.
Mm.
And in that moment, we have also the beginning of a large exploitation of the workforce.
Yes.
Once they brought the African people to become slaves.
Yeah.
Like 5 million. Five million.
Just to Brazil, né?
Just to Brazil. Brazil is the largest country in number of slavers in the history.
Yeah, if we analyze all the countries of America, all of the America, we can see that Brazil was the country that received the major amount of
slave.
African people
uh-huh.
that became slaves,
slave.
And was the last country of America to abolish the institutional
oh,
slavery.
Really? Okay.
And the large time. Because
yeah.
it's more than 300 years.
The duration of
wow.
this slavery. Yeah.
The situation wow. imply today. Today mm-hmm. there we are many social problem because this.
Yes.
Yeah.
The situation of today is a result, a reflection of all
of what
this.
Happened in Brazil.
Uh-huh. So you have, this is always very interesting. Now you have the indigenous people and what survives of them. Then you have all these Africans who are forcibly brought.
Yeah.
And of course, I think they make the majority of the population now in Brazil. And then there's the European element of Portuguese and other Europeans that you know, so it's a mixed population. And on top of it, of course, is the Catholic religion then that is brought
yeah.
in and
yes.
becomes the largest up to today. So it's a real change
yeah.
that is happening, isn't it?
So we're starting with the cycles. I would like to know a little bit more. So we're talking about the sugar.
Yeah.
So obviously sugar is coming from Europe and then planted in Brazil because it was perfect to grow sugar. Very labor intensive, hence the slaves. And it became the currency of the Caribbean and South America, and it gave the world rum, it gave the world molasses, and obviously sugar. What was the impact on the land, on the geography of Brazil?
Yeah, many of the land in Brazil in that moment they started to use the land to
yeah.
produce
sugar.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the land was not in that moment seen like a place to reproduce their lives anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
it
the life of
sugar.
The indigenous people.
Right. Uh-huh.
So in that moment, the land was to produce the sugar yes. cane.
Mm-hmm. A factory. Of sugar.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So
yes.
many of most part of the land was used to produce this kind of thing, because in that moment it was important to export it,
mm-hmm.
this
commodity. Yeah.
Yes, this commodity, and it is important to us to know this because we have the nowadays we have the continuation. Of this structure in terms of territory.
Right.
Because the land in Brazil is not important to the reproductions of life, but to produce commodities, to export it.
Yeah. What you're saying, Aurelan, I think, is that there used to be a connection between a people and the land.
Yes.
But
yeah.
the moment they turn to sugar and coffee and so on,
yeah.
that connection breaks.
And it started with the sugar cane.
Because it yeah. becomes just or mostly a capitalistic
yes,
venture.
It
no?
is the beginning of the capitalism.
Mm.
So in that moment was important this production and the exportation
mm-hmm.
of this production to produce capital,
yes.
to accumulate capital,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And this capital and this money that was resulted of this production was not for those people who lived in Brazil.
Because,
of course.
Correct me if I am wrong, the sugar was produced but then refined in Europe.
Yes.
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 Okay. Yes. So it was, nothing was, they were the bleeding Brazil dry.
Perfect. Today it's the same situation like a soybean.
Yes.
Okay,
with
the same. And
yeah.
corn. the okay. corn.
So everybody trying to be vegan, and we're ruining the
earth. We can see the remain of this structure, because it was in 1500 and it remains nowadays. So it is...
It's very powerful.
Yes, it is powerful because, you know, we have the same structures that we had in the past. Mm. So nothing has changed.
Look, today we are 513 deputies. In parliament,
we have 513
deputies. Mm-hmm. 300 and a half it's represent the agribusiness.
Wow!
Wow!
yes.
Talk about a lobby.
Only lobby.
And I will move from sugar and then to coffee. Again, one of the biggest exports today. It is something that I would share with our listeners. The first thing I mentioned to you, Aurelana, was coffee, Brazilian coffee. And when you start seeing how at one point you were so producing so much coffee, they were trying to make trains work with coffee beans, burning coffee beans, because it was so much. It was given out so much. And again, the money was not being kept. In Brazil, it was again, we have the same situation there, bleeding the country dry. Is that the same thing still today with the coffee?
Please, Aurelani, her master is about coffee.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, I'll link another question.
She's the expert, then I will stop talking.
I'll link another question, and we're actually leading to it. So, why are you studying this particular subject? You know, land and violence. I mean, we can see why, but I'd like to hear more
because
about that.
This process is violent. This process is genocide of the indigenous people, the slavery, the land concentration, they spell the family, rural family. Mm. No, it's based in violence. So it's important to study violence and keep today many cases of violence in rural Brazil. Uh-huh. It's like a return a past, a past.
Return to the past.
To the past nowadays. Uh-huh. So, but
uh-huh. Yeah.
That's about the coffee.
but talking about why we studied this subject, because I think the problems that we have today in Brazil is something that comes from the past. You know, and it is about the land. It is about the territory formation. Mm-hmm. So in that time, we had the slavery of African people, black people. And nowadays in Brazil, the most part of poor people in Brazil are black people, mm-hmm. you know. So I think what explains our situation today is this past that is connected to the land, to the dispute for territory, you know?
Uh-huh. And you know, this is something that in this program we always try and emphasize, how in order to make sense of the current situation
of today, you need to know the past.
You need to know the past.
You need to know where you're coming from.
So this is why history is very important.
Yes.
it's the most important. Forget geography.
Geography is a good part.
It's a very good partner. Mm-hmm. And it leads me to the question of do you see a change? Like in the last 20 years, are we seeing a change? Is the world realizing what is the problem of the dispute between the land and the people, and the people who cannot get out of this system, which is a very heavy capitalist system?
And of course, Brazil has had its own Donald Trump, no? With Bolsonaro.
Yes.
Yes. Not a happy story.
I can't remember this man.
So, I think, of course, today we can discuss this problem more, but I think, as Marco said, we have a group of politicians that is connected to the agribusiness. So the agribusiness itself is the politician, are the politicians. So this is why I think this structure doesn't change, you know. And talking about the coffee that mm-hmm. he yes. asked me before. Yes, the coffee, we have a huge production of coffee. Of course, the best part of this coffee, the coffee that has good quality, is exported. So okay. we, yes, so Brazilian people, they don't drink the good coffee. Mm. Yeah.
It's the same with us with tuna.
Ah.
Oh.
The best tuna. Is exported.
Yeah. And now the coffee in Brazil is the worst coffee, and like a mix, a little...
A blend, yes.
A blend, but a mix with corn.
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 I see. Look, so coffee.
They add coffee. Corn. Yes.
You know, sorry, I'm being a historian. In the Napoleonic Wars, when there was no coffee coming from the Caribbean, from San Domingo and from Brazil because of the Royal Navy... Aid. Napoleon, lovely Emperor Napoleon, who reinstalled slavery in Europe, got a Maltese man to try and combine and blend the little coffee that they had with chicory that grows in the land, and they were grinding it and turning it, so the coffee was not good, and it's the same thing. So in Brazil it is you're not drinking good coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so strange.
Yes.
So we have a huge area that is for this kind of production, but at the same time we don't drink the best coffee that we produce. And in the plantation of coffee, as I said before, I studied the contemporary slavery. And I think this is the main culture, the main growing, that we can find the huge amount of works.
Workers.
Yes, that are in these bad conditions of labor.
How bad are the conditions?
For example, they don't receive the wage, or the wage is very low. They don't have a proper food, so sometimes they have to eat rotten meat. They don't have, they have to live in tents in the middle of the plantation.
The price of a good cup of coffee.
Yes.
Who are these people? Are they the poor Brazilians, or are they people that they're bringing from other places? Who ends up?
We have migrants from outside Brazil. Okay.
Mm-hmm. From South America?
Africa.
Still.
The most part is Brazilian people.
Yeah, I was about to say that. But the major of these workers, most of them, they are Brazilian.
Still.
Yeah, so they are poor people. They are black people.
Mm-hmm.
So do you find a relationship with the conditions that these guys are working in, with the conditions that we find in the history documents of like the 19th century and the 18th century? Are there connections?
Yes, of course. There are a lot of connections because these people, they cannot leave all the property. Once they are there, they have to work. They cannot leave. So they use the supervisors, yes. They use guns to make these people to stay in the property, in the farmer, so they cannot leave. So it's not a choice.
Our tuna industry is not like that.
Okay.
And, I hope.
And in our history, there isn't the agrarian reform, you know?
Agrarian reform.
And Brazil is it's possible the principal country in concentration in the land, mm-hmm. the land concentration in the world.
That's huge.
I stud one farm. It's like she stud also one farm. It's like a 10 Maltas.
Yes, the 10. Size, in terms of
size. One, only one.
Oh,
okay.
Goodness.
And one part, this land, unproduced.
Because they don't work it.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. So
it's so big.
So yes, but there are many poor people
without land.
struggle for land.
We're about to close. We only have like 2 minutes left. What solutions would you see? How can one start to deal with this heritage and help improve these lives?
I like revolution.
Yes.
I don't know. It is a complicated question, but I think
we need another program.
I think the only thing that we can do now is try to create some policies, public policies that help those people, that help people in Brazil to have a good life. You know, I think it is the only way that we can find good ways to change a little bit our reality.
Mm-hmm. And I don't believe in the politicians in Brazil, sorry. And the social movement could be the change, could be move the change in Brazil.
Yeah,
so the social movement,
civil society, NGOs.
Yes,
the importance of
it's the way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really have been intrigued with what we have discussed, and there is so much to learn and to see how the rest of the world. When you wake up in the morning, and I actually have Brazilian coffee at home. I just bought it. And I think when I'll be, you know, pouring that small cup of coffee, I'm going to understand the price that the world is paying to have this very good cup of coffee. And I think that is a modern reality that we need to look to our past to try to understand. And maybe in the future we can find a solution. Thank you for being with us today. It was a pleasure. My name is Liam Gauci. This is Emmanuel Buttigieg. Thank you for being with us. We'll meet you next week. Same time, same place.